Shepherding. Shepherding was an ancient and important occupation in Israel. If you think with me in the Bible, the very first shepherd was Abel, the son of Adam, who gave his life for his faith. Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, was a shepherd, as was his son Isaac, and then his grandson Jacob. Indeed, when the sons of Jacob went to dwell in Egypt, do you remember what they told Pharaoh? Genesis 47, verse 3. Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. Moses, the mighty deliverer of Israel, was a shepherd for 40 years. And probably the most famous shepherd was David, the shepherd king. Did you know that God himself is referred to in the Bible, Psalm 80, verse 1, as the shepherd of the nation of Israel? And I believe we're all familiar with the words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The leaders of the Jewish people then came to be known as their shepherds. But as time passed, they were not always faithful to their duties. I'd like to invite your attention, hold in John chapter 10, and go back in the Old Testament to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. In that chapter, Ezekiel 34, God condemns the leaders of Israel as being false shepherds. And these words, I think, will help us understand more about John 10. Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. No one was seeking nor searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, thus says the Lord God, because you have made desolate and swallowed up on every side, so you became the possession of the rest of the nations and are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the peoples. Did I just skip over? I did. I apologize. Two pages stuck together. Let me go back. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they no longer be food for them. So God condemned, sorry about that, God condemned the false shepherds in the Old Testament. Now with that background in mind, we come to the New Testament. And we come to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now when we do that, notice if you will look with me there, there is a direct continuation from John chapter 9. There is no break. It continues directly on. You will remember that on the first day of the Feast of the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus had said certain things. And at the first day after the Feast of Tabernacles, he had healed a man who was born blind. That man was later brought before the Jewish religious leaders, the shepherds of the nation of Israel. They were supposed to care for the spiritual needs of the people. But rather than rejoicing with him over now being able to see, they're angered because the miracle took place on the Sabbath day. After intensely questioning him, they finally excommunicated him from the synagogue. Why? They were more interested in their own power, their own prestige, than in this man's spiritual well-being. They were like those shepherds mentioned in the Old Testament that fed themselves and did not care for the people. So Jesus found this poor, abused sheep and led him to a personal faith in himself. In the last verse of chapter 41, Jesus said to them, "There are Pharisees that have surrounded him and are talking to him. Some of the Pharisees heard Jesus speaking about spiritual blindness, and they questioned him about their own spiritual condition. To which Jesus basically replied that they, if they would admit their spiritual blindness, they would be healed. They had spiritual sight. But since they refused to admit it, they were still in their sins." And we read this. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." You're still in your sin. Now we come to chapter 10. And Jesus continues to speak of the nation's fold, then of a flock, and then of a faithful shepherd. First of all, let us notice the Jewish fold in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 10. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they hear his voice. And a stranger they will by no means follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Here we have the sheepfold. Now there's a background here. The background is of a town sheepfold. If there was a village, if there was a town, and there were numerous shepherds living in it, it was normal for them to have a community sheepfold. Now let's think about that fold for a second. This type of sheepfold would likely be an enclosure made of stones, open to the sky, and entirely weather, wind, rain could go into that, but there was a wall all around it, and it was entered by an opening or a gate. Now, what would happen? The shepherds in that town would bring their sheep each evening when they came there. They would bring them to the sheepfold. They would bring the animals, would follow it. There, when they got to the sheepfold, they would have them pass under their shepherd's rod. They would examine them to make sure they were okay. They would let them in. And then the shepherds would leave them in the keeping of another individual, and they would go back to their own homes, have a good meal, get a good night's sleep, and then come the next day to get their sheep. Now, in our Lord's illustration, he talks about the sheepfold. Now, there's been some confusion. Some people say, well, the sheepfold is the church. No, because the shepherd leads the sheep out of the sheepfold. Jesus doesn't lead people out of his church. Oh, it's heaven. Well, again, he doesn't bring people out of heaven. Matter of fact, also it talks about thieves and robbers we just read about breaking in and, you know, going over the wall and stealing. Nobody's going to steal us out of heaven. So it's not heaven, it's not the church. Well, then what is it? As we read the context, it's Judaism. It's the nation of Israel. It's the people of Israel. And we see in verse 6, this is an illustration. By the way, this is not a parable. Sometimes when you read in some commentators, it might say the parable. It's not a parable. There is no parables in the book of John. Well, wait a second. The King James Version says parable. Yes, that's probably not the best translation. A different word is being used here. This word means an illustration. It means literally it's a dark saying, a proverb. The book of John is one of discourses, not one of parables. And so the sheepfold here represents the nation of Israel and Judaism. Secondly, let's think about the door. The doorkeeper. The doorkeeper. The shepherds would hire an individual, maybe an under-shepherd or just somebody in the community, and they would hire that person to watch over the sheep, the flocks, during the night. As all the shepherds went home to get a good night's sleep, this person then would stand at the door. He was a doorkeeper. The King James calls him a porter. And he would not let anyone into the sheepfold other than the owners, the shepherds of the sheep. Now, who is the doorkeeper? Well, most likely, Jesus here is referring to John the Baptist, the accredited forerunner of the Messiah, sent to announce his coming, to validate his credentials for the nation, and introduce him as the shepherd to the nation. So the doorkeeper, we think, is maybe John. It also talks here about false shepherds. Jesus refers to the false shepherds as thieves and robbers. There's a little bit of a difference. Thieves steal by stealth. Robbers use violence to get what they want. Now, to understand, they are in an enclosure. There is a wall. I don't know how tall it might vary. It's not like something that's 10 foot tall. It's not something humongous. And so a thief would then, the doorkeepers over by the door, they would probably go to the side or around back. They would climb over the wall to get inside. After the thief was inside, the safest way to get a sheep out, if you're picking up a sheep, what do you think the sheep's going to do? Meh! So how do you get that sheep over it? You slit its throat. And then you throw him over the wall. Or you hand him over to somebody maybe on the other side. But you probably killed the sheep already. These are the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders desired to steal the sheep that rightly were supposed to belong to God. They didn't care if they died spiritually as long as they could profit from them. They just demonstrated that in the example of the blind man. They didn't care about him. They were mad at him. They cast him out of the fold. John Phillips notes, their pride of position, a desire for power, their system of Bible interpretation, which far from feeding God's flock, stole away from them their rich heritage, their determination to oppose Christ, all marked them out as false shepherds. And then we have the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. The true shepherd always entered by the door. The porter recognized him, the doorkeeper recognized him, and would let him in. Jesus presented himself officially to Israel as their shepherd. He was the true shepherd. That is seen in his credentials. He entered the legitimate way. He was born as prophesied of the tribe of Judah, of the family of David. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He was born in the proper time according to Daniel's prophecy. He was called out of Egypt, and he was announced by the promised forerunner. Thus, he was the right person with the proper heritage, born in the right place, in the proper manner, at the proper time, and witnessed by the proper authority. He had every right to enter into the sheepfold. But notice, why does he enter in? He enters in to bring his sheep out. Jesus did not intend to leave those who believed in him forever in the fold of Judaism. He came to lead them into the liberty of grace and blessing of Christianity. He entered into the Jewish sheepfold to lead what would become his church out of Judaism into the liberty of grace. And then there are the called sheep. Those who follow him, they are the Jews who trust in Jesus Christ. What do we think about these sheep? Well, as we look here, we notice two things especially. First of all, the sheep follow their true shepherd. They follow their true shepherd. Now, we have to understand a Middle Eastern shepherd in comparison to, for example, a Western shepherd. A Middle Eastern shepherd did not round up his flock by sending in a sheepdog to bark at their heels and drive them out. He didn't go into the fold and say, okay, you're my sheep, move, move, and drive them out. No, he would come to the door and he would call with his voice. His sheep recognized his voice and they would come out to him. He might even call them by name and they followed. And again, an example is that blind man. He recognized the voice of Jesus and now was his ardent follower. Now, the false shepherds had no use for that sheep. They hated him for wanting the true shepherd. They hated Christ for attracting sheep to himself. Jesus here says that his sheep hear his voice when he calls them out of Israel into his messianic fold. His imagery pictures the human response to the call of salvation. They came to him to be saved. Now, we might go to this passage and think and apply that to people today, but in the passage, it is actually speaking of the people of Israel, the Jewish people who believed in him. And after calling his sheep, Jesus leads them out of the fold and puts them forth to pasture. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Also, we notice not only do the sheep follow the true shepherd, the sheep flee from strangers. They will not come to strangers. The reason the sheep follow the shepherd is because they know his voice. They recognize the voice as their own shepherd. They respond to his voice. They won't respond to another person's voice. When they hear another voice, they run away. True believers, we can see here, do not abandon Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the fall of false shepherds. True believers recognize the truth revealed by God. They reject error. Now, let me say this, and listen carefully. I believe that no genuine person who's actually been saved will finally and completely turn away from Jesus Christ. They might get confused by some cult. They may get confused by somebody knocking on their door and giving them their literature and trying to talk to them. They may be confused for a while, but they won't turn totally away from Jesus Christ. Because they will eventually recognize that's the voice of a false shepherd. The voice of the true shepherd is Jesus. If they turn their backs totally upon Jesus, deny him as being deity, deny him as being savior, deny him as being the only way of salvation, they're not saved to begin with. They never were sheep. Secondly, we have looked here at the Jewish fold, the sheep fold. Let's now look at the Christian flock in verses 7 through 18. Verse number 6 says that since they were spiritually blind, these leaders could not understand what he was talking about. And so he's going to give them another illustration. I like the way H.A. Ironside put it. They did not apprehend the meaning of this beautiful little picture that he presented to them, so he went on to open up things more fully. Now here we have to be careful, because Jesus is slightly changing his illustration. He changes it from sheep gathered in a town in a sheep fold to sheep now being tended out on the range. You see, after a Jewish shepherd called his own sheep by name and led them out of the town's fold, he would lead them out to pasture and they would follow him. There he would gather them in the evening, and maybe he'd place them in some available cave or into a man-made corral for their protection from predators. Now let's think about this illustration. First of all, the sheep. The sheep. Well, some of the sheep are the sheep of the Jewish sheep of verse number 3, who hear his voice and come out of Judaism. But there are more sheep than that. Drop down with me, please, to verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. He says, I have more sheep that are in the fold of Judaism. Now that is not, some cults will say, that's us. No, that's not the cult. Some people say, oh, those are aliens out on other planets. No, it's not aliens out on other planets. What is he talking about? Well, some of the sheep are of the Jewish fold. Other sheep are of not of the Jewish fold. Well, who's not of the Jewish fold? Gentiles? Non-Jews? Aren't you glad he has Gentile sheep? I mean, that's what we, I think everybody here is a Gentile, non-Jewish. That is the Jewish sheep, the Gentile sheep, and now he brings them together and there's a new flock, not fold, but a new flock, the New Testament church. Paul will tell you later in the New Testament that the Jews looked upon the world as being Jewish or Gentile. He says that there's something new. There's now the church. And in the church, we're neither Jew nor Gentile. We are Christians. We're a new entity. This is the new, the fold. The flock. The new flock of the church. So that's the sheep. Then let's notice the door. Verses 7 through 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The door. In Bible times, when you got out into the field, the pasture, the shepherd was the door. At night, he would lead his sheep into the fold where they would rest, secure from the beasts of prey. And he became their door. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, there was a distinguished man of years gone by, some years ago, who was in the Middle East. And he was noticing a shepherd. He saw a shepherd leading his sheep out up on the hill. He led them into the fold in the evening and made them comfortable. And this man said to the shepherd, "Do you leave the sheep in the fold all night?" To which the shepherd said, "Well, yes. But aren't there beasts around?" "Yes." "Won't they try to get the sheep?" "Yes." "Well, you don't have a door. How can you keep the wild beasts out?" That Arab shepherd then lay down on his side in the opening and settled himself in that entryway. He looked up and smiled and he said, "I am the door." You see, no wild beast could get over him without awakening him. The sheep wouldn't crawl over him to get out. He lay down in the opening, small little opening. He became the door. Jesus is our door. We see two things especially here. First of all, by trusting in Jesus, we are, he says, saved. We're saved. As the door, Jesus delivers sinners from bondage. We have salvation. This word saved is really interesting. It means delivered, safe, and sound. It was used to say that a person recovered from a very severe illness. He was saved. Or he come through a very bad storm. He was saved. Or he survived a war, he was saved. Or he was acquitted in a court of law, he was saved. We're saved. We're delivered. We're safe. We're sound. He is our door. He saves us and gives us eternal life. But more than that, by trusting in Jesus, all of our needs are met. The next morning, the shepherd would arise early and lead his sheep out in the pasture where they could have the grass when it had that thick dew upon it. Their needs would be met. Through Jesus, we're saved and we enter into a new freedom and enjoyment in life. Jesus came to give us eternal life and if we put our trust in him. And if we're walking with God, we have not just life, we have abundant life. H.A. Ironside wrote, "The shepherd takes care of the sheep, guides them to proper pastures where they are refreshed and fed. So our blessed Lord makes himself responsible for those who put their trust in him." Do you know Christ the Savior? He says, "I don't want to just give you life, eternal life. I want to give you abundant life. Follow closely with me and let me help you to enjoy life to its fullest." And then we have the Good Shepherd. Verse number 11. "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." The word good here really has the idea of beautiful. I would say awesome. It refers here to beauty of character. The shepherd who is absolutely unselfish and devoted to the will of God the Father. Warren W. Wiersbe states that it means intrinsically good, beautiful, fair. And it describes that which is the ideal, the model that others may safely imitate. It was inherent in his very nature. He was good. Notice two things about the good shepherd. Verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Drop down to verse number 15, the latter part. I lay down my life for the sheep. Drop down to verse number 17, the latter part. I lay down my life that I may take it again. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now that's interesting. In the Old Testament, the sheep gave their lives for the shepherd. But in the New Covenant, the shepherd died for the sheep. You see, the blood of sheep would not forgive sins. The blood of sheep would not adequately deal with our sins. It only pictured the blood of the shepherd who would one day come and die for us. And by the blood of Jesus, we have complete salvation. Our Lord's death was voluntary. No one forced him to do it. It was vicarious. That meant he did it in our place. And it's victorious. It gives us victory. Yet, notice verse number 18 as well. No one takes it from me, for I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received of my Father. He took his life back up. Now that separates him from a mortal shepherd. If a mortal shepherd was protecting his sheep and he were killed and laid down his life for his sheep, and they would do that. They would fight the bear. They would fight the wolf. They would fight the lion like David did in the Old Testament. And they might die. But if they were killed, what is that wild animal going to do? It's going to ravage the flock. It's going to kill the flock. But Jesus rose from the dead. And he continues to protect his own flock from the predators. Then we find not only that, but the good shepherd loves and cares for his sheep. Verses 12 and 13. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Here we have a contrast between the good shepherd who loves his sheep and cares for his sheep and the hireling. Who's the hireling? Well, they were the religious leaders again. Their speak is only hirelings, hired hands. The hireling lacks commitment. They're not committed to the sheep. They lack concern. They're not concerned for the sheep. He has no real investment. They're not his sheep. Why should he die for the sheep? They're not mine, they says. I'm always taken back and think, I never want to be a hireling. I want to be God's under-shepherd. Who cares? But the shepherd, the heavenly shepherd, is not a hireling. He is committed to us as his sheep. He is concerned about us as his sheep. He loves us. He cares for us. And the good shepherd knows his sheep. And is known by his sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known by my sheep. Not only do these sheep know him and know his voice, but he knows the sheep, each and every one of us. We know his voice. We follow his voice. But he knows us by name. And he has written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 16 says here, and other sheep I have which are not of this flock, not of this flock. Excuse me, not of this fold. I said that wrong. Them also I will bring, and they will bear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. We hear his voice, we follow him, and the good shepherd unites his sheep, Jew and Gentile, into one flock. Again, The King James Version, I believe, says fold here, but it should be, it's a different word, it should be one flock. We're his flock, the church. In closing, let's notice the reaction. The reaction to the faithful shepherd. Beginning at verse 19 through 21. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Their reaction to the faithful shepherd. Well, there's division among the Jewish leaders. Some said, he's demon-possessed. He's insane. Their eyes are still blind. They cannot see. They're still concerned about themselves, not the sheep. They don't want to be one of his sheep. He's demon-possessed. But others, I wonder if they may not be some of the priests and ones in the book of Acts who come later to know him as Savior. Others realize that Jesus' teaching and miracles were not those of a demon-possessed person or an insane person. How can a demon-possessed or an insane person teach these wonderful words with authority? How can they speak like this? How could a demon-possessed person open the eyes of the blind and do these other miracles? So there's a division. But not only that, notice there's also the ultimate price of death. His confrontation with these false shepherds would lead inevitably to his own death by crucifixion. These enemies of Jesus Christ would ultimately arrest him on false charges, give him a sham trial, and cause him to be crucified. And by the way, that's only 6 months in the future from these events recorded in here, the first part of John 10. Thus, the faithful shepherd would indeed give his life for the sheep to redeem us from sin. We close this morning. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior and entered into his flock? Are you one of his sheep? If so, you listen to his voice. If so, you follow him. If so, you learn from him, and he protects you and takes care of you. And what a wonderful good shepherd we have. If not, won't you turn to him and ask him to be your Savior and Lord? And he will. Let's stand. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who left the portals of glory, came to this earth and was born among us, and died for our sins, that we would be the sheep of his pasture. Help us to follow. Help us to listen. Help us, dear Lord, to share the gospel with others so they can know him as Savior as well. To you be all the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with a song, Just As I Am.
11. We're going to be looking at the account of the raising of Lazarus.
So go ahead and study that in advance. Read that in advance. And remember, 2 weeks, we'll be having our dinner downstairs. God bless. You're dismissed. Mama.